All right, Justin Bader here with the Instructional Leadership Show. Let's go ahead and kick things off for episode 124, Focus on Frequency in Classroom Walkthroughs. All right, welcome everyone to the Instructional Leadership Show. I'm your host, Justin Bader, and I'm very excited to talk with you about something that I think is really at the heart of instructional leadership, and that is classroom walkthroughs, and specifically how to actually get classroom walkthroughs to be valuable by getting them to happen on a consistent basis. See, I think there's this myth that in order for our classroom walkthroughs to be valuable, we have to give really, really, really good feedback. We have to hold ourselves to an incredibly high standard to justify the time that it takes to get into classrooms and the time away from our other work. We hold ourselves to a really high standard sometimes. And what I'm going to suggest today is actually that you don't worry so much about the quality of your feedback and instead focus on the frequency with which you're getting into classrooms. So this is episode 124 of the Instructional Leadership Show, Focus on Frequency in Classroom Walkthroughs. And our essential question today is, what should I optimize for? What am I really trying to accomplish when I'm getting into classrooms? If I want to do them better, if I want to do my classroom walkthroughs more effectively, what should I be striving for? That is the question that we are going to tackle today. If you have questions or comments, you can leave them on Facebook or you can text me. You might be watching this later. You might not have a Facebook account. You can text me at 501-222-4415 and I would love to hear from you. Go ahead and leave a comment if you are tuning in live. But today we're going to explore what exactly we should focus on. Perhaps we should focus on very high quality documentation. What about that? Should we take really good notes, fill out a very detailed form? I spent a lot of time making forms when I was a principal and I thought that might be helpful. Should we focus on having just a really good piece of actionable feedback for the teacher to run with? And I think that's what we kind of envision as this dream scenario, right? Is that we get into classrooms, we see something, we have a thought, we have a suggestion for improvement, and we share it with the teacher and the teacher's eyes just light up and their life changes forever and they hug us around the neck and they say, "Justin, you are just the greatest instructional leader who ever walked the earth," right? That's kind of the fantasy of feedback that we have sometimes, right? That's probably not going to be what really happens. Should we instead focus on the frequency of visits? Now, I've made no secret of the fact that my bias is toward frequency, and here is what that means and why I believe it's so important. I believe that we need to get into classrooms 3 times a day, every day on a consistent basis. And I believe that needs to be our number one focus. We don't need to worry so much about what we've written down. We don't need to worry so much about the quality of the suggestions that we're giving or the insights that we're coming up with after observing briefly in a classroom. None of that matters nearly as much as frequency. Because if we're not in classrooms frequently, here's the thing. All that other stuff is just theoretical. Right? If I'm not actually doing something on a consistent basis, how I'm doing it stops mattering, right? If I have excellent form as a runner, but I never go running, well, it doesn't really matter how good my form is, does it, right? We've got to actually do the thing that we're striving to do in order to actually have a reason to care about how we do it. So focus on frequency first. And I think this comes up, you know, in almost everybody's practice because frequency is the hardest thing, right? This is our main first hurdle that we've got to get figured out. And I think one of the biggest barriers to frequency, one of the biggest barriers to getting into classrooms on a consistent basis is that we make it too complicated for ourselves, right? We make it so complicated that we can't actually keep up with all these expectations that we've established for ourselves. Oh, I've got to fill out this whole form. I've got to come up with a suggestion and compliments, and I've got to send a little note card and take a picture of it and put it in the teacher's mailbox, or there's a carbon thing. Like, all these steps make so much friction that we don't actually get it done. So simplify, streamline, cut back, reduce, make it as easy as possible for yourself to get into classrooms, and everything else will flow from that. Let's take a look at some specific tips for managing frequency. We've got to get into classrooms 3 times a day. And it can be helpful to think about that number in different ways, because it's easy to think, oh yeah, I get into classrooms 3 times a day, once a week, or once a month, or 3 times a quarter, you know. It's easy to overestimate how much we're getting into classrooms if we don't really concentrate on that number. So I wanna draw all of your attention to frequency first, because again, Everything else is just theoretical until we get that nailed down. So 3 visits a day is how many a week? 15, right? 5 days in a week, that means you're going to be in classrooms 15 times. And this can help you avoid that inflated number that you might get in your head if you forget, oh yeah, I actually didn't get into classrooms at all 3 days last week, so it was more like 6 instead of 15. You want to be shooting for that 15 a week. If you have about 30 teachers that you supervise, that 15 visit a week schedule is going to put you on about a 2-week rotation for seeing each teacher. So 2 weeks go by and you've seen every single teacher. The next 2 weeks go by, you've seen every teacher again. That's about the cadence that we want to have. That's also going to mean that you get around to each teacher about twice a month, just as another kind of rule of thumb or a way of kind of checking your frequency. In terms of total visits per year, that's about 18 visits per teacher per year. Now, of course, that's going to be higher or lower depending on whether you have more or less than 30 teachers that you supervise. But in total, we want to get into classrooms about 500 times a year. And when you have, you know, 180-day school year, 3 visits a day, you know, that comes out to what, 540 visits a year, minus a few for those days when things don't go right or you're out of the building or just can't get into classrooms at all. But 500 is our target. And I'm here to tell you, people are doing that right now. People are on track for that right now, and you can be too. This is doable in every school if you make it easier on yourself. So, how can we make it easier on ourselves? I'll share some tips about feedback in just a moment. First, I want to address something about the number of teachers, right? If you're in a large school, you might have 100 or more teachers, but you only evaluate maybe 30 or 40 of them, right? If that's the case, I want to encourage you to only visit the teachers that you evaluate. On your rotation, only put the teachers whom you directly supervise and evaluate. And the reason is frequency, right? If you have to get around to 100 different teachers, you're probably only going to be able to do that 3 or 4 times a year, even if you get into classrooms 3 times a day every day. And that is just not frequently enough to make a difference. Like, they're barely going to get used to you coming into their classroom if you're only coming in 3 or 4 times a year. So you want to keep this rotation to the teachers that you supervise and evaluate. And if you want to do other things like learning walks with your admin team to get people into other teachers' classrooms, that's fine. But like, do that, you know, cross that bridge when you come to it. When you say, you know what, I've been so successful getting into the classrooms of the teachers that I supervise that now we're going to do something additional to get into each other's classrooms, you know, of the other people on your admin team and the teachers that they supervise. If you have that problem, if you get to that point, then by all means, figure something out to get into the other teachers' classrooms. But to get started, focus on the teachers that you personally supervise and evaluate, because again, it's just a numbers issue, right? If you supervise 30 teachers, that's doable. You can get into 30 classrooms on a consistent basis. But if you are the principal and you supervise 3 assistant principals and each assistant principal supervises 36 teachers, you know, you're just never gonna get around to everybody, and it's not going to have the impact that it could. So focus on the teachers whom you personally supervise. Next, let's talk about the good old feedback sandwich. Now, I have been using this image of a roast beef sandwich for a good long time, and I love it because it's what we envision that our feedback should be like often, right? We think, okay, the meat of the sandwich is the suggestion for improvement, right? Right in the middle, there's gonna be that hearty, big chunk of feedback that I'm gonna give this teacher, and they are going to really benefit from this big chunk of feedback that I'm giving them. Like, that's where the nutrition is in this sandwich. But of course, you wanna make that more accessible, you wanna make that more palatable. So of course, we need to sandwich that hearty, substantive feedback between some compliments, right? And the compliments kind of are intended to soften the teacher up, to butter the teacher up, to make them feel good about themselves, you know, especially if we're going to give them some kind of hard feedback that might be a little difficult to hear. We think, all right, I need to give them a compliment, and then the real feedback, the suggestion, and then another compliment. Well, I actually think this is kind of a lousy format. I am not a big fan of the feedback sandwich because a couple of things happen when we use this format. Number one, people expect it. They think, okay, first comes the compliment, and then comes the suggestion, and then comes the compliment. All right, so I just have to kind of smile and nod through all of it as the teacher. So it becomes this kind of joke, right, with the teacher, where they just expect you're going to say 3 things. 2 of them are going to be compliments, the one in the middle is going to be a suggestion, and as long as they smile and nod, it will be over soon, and they can get back to making their copies or eating their lunch or whatever they need to do, right? So part of the problem is just the predictability of it. Another problem, though, is the authenticity, right? When something becomes that predictable, it really stops feeling authentic, and it starts to feel like we're just checking a box, right? Okay, I need to give the person a compliment, need to give them a suggestion, need to give them another compliment. And it really loses the natural and authentic feel that feedback should have, right? So we want to get away from that kind of artificial format. Another problem is that this ratio, look at this ratio that we have of compliments to suggestions. Is that always the right ratio? Should we always have 2 compliments per suggestion? Maybe that feels like a good ratio. It might actually be a little negative, right? If you're going to say something negative, you probably should have even more positives to go along with those negatives. And if you have somebody who is struggling, who's really just not doing well, you don't want to give them twice as many compliments as suggestions, because they might implement the suggestions, still be really struggling, and then at the end of the year, they have all this documentation that you've given them all these compliments and all these suggestions that they've implemented, and how could they not be satisfactory after all that? It can create a documentation nightmare. So, my recommendation is that you abandon this format, don't worry about it, and in fact, abandon any ambition to always give helpful feedback. I'm gonna amp this up a bit here and claim that you will not always have helpful feedback, and you should not always have helpful feedback after a brief observation. And this goes against the norm in our profession. This goes against the assumption that as instructional leaders, we will always have something helpful to say. And we would like to think that we could always have something helpful to say, right? We'd like to be able to give helpful feedback after any observation, no matter how brief. But the reality is, that's not always going to be the case. Sometimes we are just not going to see very much. Sometimes we're just not going to be able to think of anything that a particular teacher could do to improve. That could be the case if you have a really, really strong teacher. You might not see anything wrong at all, any opportunities to improve. That certainly can happen. And sometimes you will see opportunities to improve, little things that could be better, but it's just not worth it. It's like, okay, this was fine. That transition could have taken place in 3 seconds less time if students practice better, if you give clearer directions or whatever, or you could have used a thicker marker to write on the board, but like, who cares, right? Don't worry about that little nitpicky stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. We want to focus on real improvement opportunities, because this feedback work, this instructional leadership that we're doing, is not free. There is a cost to getting into classrooms. There is a leadership capital cost to giving people feedback and asking them to change their practice. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to spend that capital and spend that time on stuff that just doesn't matter simply for the sake of saying we gave someone feedback. We have got to let go of that need to be helpful. Like, if you think about it in like being needy, in terms of being needy, that's actually kind of pathetic, right? Like, well, I need to be validated by my own ability to give other people feedback, and I need them to act like that feedback is valuable in order to validate my instructional leadership. Like, no, we don't need to do that. What we need to do is get into classrooms, be present and pleasant, pay attention, notice what's going on, listen and learn, and then have an authentic conversation with the teacher based on what we saw, right? And I think when we do that, we can avoid letting the perfect be the enemy of the good, right? This vision that we have in our heads of this perfect feedback that we're gonna provide, and we're just gonna rock the teacher's world and change their practice forever, that impossible standard that we hold ourselves to is actually a way of avoiding getting into classrooms. We know it's a high bar. We know we're not gonna be able to achieve it on a consistent basis. So we allow ourselves to not get into classrooms because we know we're not gonna live up to that standard. We know we're not gonna have that perfect feedback. Don't fall into that trap, my friends. Get into classrooms. Don't have the expectation that you're gonna have amazing feedback every time. Just let that go, and you will find that it is much, much easier to get into classrooms, and your own resistance to getting into classrooms will start to fade away and will start to move into the background, because you know, as long as I'm showing up, I'm doing the right thing. If I don't have a perfect suggestion for this teacher, that's okay. If I don't know anything better that they could be doing, if I just see a lesson and I think this is fine, this is really good, this is great, it's okay. You are learning, you are validating the teacher's practice, not in some sort of artificial way, but just by honoring it with your presence and your attention and your respect. It is okay to not have a suggestion for improvement. And if everything is really, really good, please do not make the mistake of confusing instructional leadership with nitpicking, right? Finding fault, the tiniest little flaw, the tiniest little thing that the teacher could have done differently, is not meaningful instructional leadership work. You do not need to do that. And The thing is, teachers can tell when that's what we're doing, when everything is so good, but we have to find something that we pick on some little thing. We don't need to do that. It's not fun. We know it's not fun, so we avoid it. Teachers know it's not fun, but they pretend that they're, you know, that they value the feedback. So they're like, they smile and nod and say, oh, thank you, that's really helpful, when it's not. We've got to stop doing that, my friends. We have got to focus on frequency, focus on showing up, listening, paying attention authentically, and having a good conversation about what we saw, but not trying to force the feedback, not trying to force it into some artificial structure or see things that aren't there or come up with feedback that, you know, that really is not worth emphasizing. So here's what I want you to do instead. Simply document your visits in terms of the date and time. You can use our note cards. I'll give you the link to those in just a moment. Document your visits. Keep track of each teacher's visit to, you know, your visit to each teacher's classroom. Use those note cards. And there are instructions and everything. I'll give you the link in just a second. And then when you've made it around to each teacher twice, starting in your third cycle, you can start to take notes, right? Once people are used to seeing you, they're used to your presence in the classroom, it's been a good experience so far, you haven't hit them over the head with any kind of you know, rating or sanctions or anything like that, it's been a positive experience, then you can start taking your notes and then sharing those notes with the teacher, and you'll have something to talk about. And you don't have to share written suggestions. You don't have to ask written questions. Just share your notes and you will have a good evidence-rich conversation. So I want to challenge you. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give that a try and say, you know what, I'm going to focus on frequency. I'm not going to worry so much about holding myself to this impossible standard of providing great feedback every time. I'm just going to show up. That is the work. If you are willing to commit to that, leave a comment, let me know. Just give me a yes. And if you need the note cards, go ahead and download those. If you're on our email list, I've shared these with you many times this year. Basically, you just print out these note cards and they have some feedback questions on the back. But the main purpose of them is to keep track of your visits, right? You make one note card per teacher. I've got a set right here. They're like designed to be printed 4 to a page, print them on cardstock. And you make one note card per teacher. And here's what you do with them. You write out the teacher schedule and then you make that stack of note cards, and every day you take the top 3 note cards off of that stack and you say, these are the teachers I'm going to visit today. So you look at the teacher schedule, say, when are they teaching what? When can I go and visit? You look at your own calendar, say, I think I can go during second period. So you swing by during second period and you see what they're teaching then, and you write the date to document that you've been into Mrs. Smith's class during second period AP bio. You write the date and you've got it documented. That is all the documentation you need to do in your first 2 cycles. And continue recording the dates and times of your visits on those note cards so you have a good record. And every day when you visited those teachers' classrooms, put their note cards on the bottom of the stack, and that'll keep your rotation consistent. And only after you begin your third cycle should you worry about taking notes and sending those notes to the teacher. In the meantime, just talk. Just have a normal conversation. And making this a pleasant and doable process for yourself, I think, honestly, is half the battle, right? If you can enjoy the habit and develop the habit and get consistent about the habit of getting into classrooms every day, you will find that it becomes an essential part of your leadership. If, on the other hand, you give yourself a giant form to fill out, you have this huge packet that you have to flip through and check all these boxes and write in all these boxes, and then you have to copy it or take pictures and give it to the teacher or write them a note card or something, if you give yourself this big, elaborate process to go through, you're not gonna get it done. And if I'm wrong about that, show me your evidence. Show me your records that you have been able to sustain that process year in and year out. And honestly, if you have a process like that that's working for you, that's fine. You can disregard what I'm saying. But if you've been making yourself feel guilty because you couldn't sustain this big elaborate process where you fill out a big form and have a big high stakes conversation with the teacher, if you haven't been able to sustain that, the problem is not you. The problem is not your self-discipline. The problem is not your school environment. The problem is you're holding yourself to the wrong standard. The standard I want to challenge you to hold yourself to is 3 a day. Get into 3 classrooms a day. Be present, be pleasant, have a good time, have a good conversation, and everything will start to shift for you. That's what I have for you today. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Instructional Leadership Show. Members get the recording every week in our Instructional Leadership Association member newsletter. We send that out every Wednesday. So if you are not a member, keep an eye out for next time we open registration. And if you are a member, look for the recording every Wednesday, and you can access our past episodes in your member dashboard as well. I'm Justin Bader, and I will see you next time. Take care.